It's not a gospel, and it's not by Judas. It's a second century text coming from a group of believers who have a very peculiar word that wouldn't be familiar to us. They're known as the Gnostics, and it comes from the Greek word for gnosis or knowledge. And in Egypt, we don't know quite why, there were a great many of these groups, all of whom were insisting that true religion, and not all of them were Christian, by the way, consisted of a hidden knowledge. And that was revealed only to the elite. So, hidden knowledge, therefore, they produced many different texts which claimed to be Gospels, and this is just one of them.
And do we learn anything at all from it?
I don't think we do, except we learn more about the Gnostics. For example, we have this text in Coptic, which was the spoken language of the Egyptians at the time, but it was originally written in Greek. Then there is a reference to whom, what might be this gospel from St. Irenaeus, who was a Christian bishop in southern France in the second century, and yet we've no evidence at all that this is the actual text that he had before him, nor what language it was. So a great deal here is being made out of very little.
And if you were to study it as a text that has been rediscovered, what would you find in it?
You would find a tendency to misinterpret the Christian story as we know it, the story of Jesus, the origins of Christianity, in an odd way. For example, another gospel, and there are dozens of these texts proclaiming to be gospels, has Jesus, as a little boy, killing his playmates when they insult him, or making toy birds out of mud, which then turn into real birds and fly away. So, slightly bizarre. Some people, even shortly after they were written, read them as fiction and as entertainment in a time when a lot of people, in fact, could not read.
And do we know anything more about Judas as a result of this?
No, we don't. Judas remains a very enigmatic figure. He flits in and out of the gospel, so we only see him really at the beginning when the 12 are called by Jesus, and we meet him at the end and he betrays Jesus. And in between we see next to nothing about him.
So you don't think it would cause any problems for those people who have been in church over Easter and heard the Passion as they normally would?
No, I don't think it should cause any problems, because the four Gospels as we have them arose out of the conviction of the Christian community that these were the most reliable record of what Jesus had done. And this conviction would have taken over 100 years to develop. So they looked at all the texts that were available and they decided that these were the most helpful, the most convincing. Each of those, the four Gospels as we know it, has its own theology, but they're is a consistency and, as has been said, a ring of truth about them, which we don't find in this Gospel of Judas.
And in the Gospels as we know them, how does Judas come across?
He comes across, I think, as somebody who's unreliable, but also who's somebody who's deeply disappointed and who cannot even for one moment abide himself.
And, of course, his ending was so sad, wasn't it?
That's one of the versions in the Acts of the Apostles, is that he hanged himself and that he split asunder. But the best way we can say is that we know that his life ended violently and that he bitterly regretted what he had done. This doesn't, on the other hand, have anything to do with this text we have in front of us, which was produced this year, naturally enough, at Easter, which has a slightly dubious provenance, and which won the National Geographic magazine, having spent an enormous amount of money on it, they therefore have to do their best to publicise it. But I was very interested in how in the initial notification that we got of it, there was no mention of the date of the actual manuscript, which is very late.
So you think there might be a touch of marketing ploy about it?
There is, yes. If you want to see really worthwhile biblical manuscripts, go to the Chester Beatty Library in Dublin Castle.